Some people still push toxic pesticides and synthetic fertilizers, things they learned 30 years ago. Well, Howard Garrett will talk about things he learned 30 years ago, but also things he learned last year and yesterday. So here he is, your host, the natural organic scientist, the Dirt Doctor.
Thank you, Logan, and we'll jump right back on the phones here. So jump on board at 866-444-DIRT, 3478. This hour is brought to you by Crazy Water. I mentioned I was wearing my Crazy Water hat the other day, and I didn't even notice that it has Famous on it. They had two wells at one time. One was a Famous well and Famous Water, and the other was Crazy Water. They were actually maybe even competitive at one time in mineral wells. Now it's just all called Crazy Water, and it's good stuff. It's, as you've heard me say, it's what I drink and recommend that you do too. It's available in more and more stores out there, and if the store where you buy your water doesn't carry Crazy Water, let them know that you'd like to have it there, because it is certainly available. DrinkCrazyWater.com is the website. Maggie was talking with us about some things, and I held her over because she always has something interesting for us. What else did you have, Maggie?
Well, as the summer progressed, it was harder to do hand watering to see where the bases of plants were. So I threaded some soaker hoses and little ribbon things that spray through my garden. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that this fall I've got one patch in the tomatoes that have a bunch of mealybugs, and I think it's because that area got too wet. Those plants were in stress.
Yeah, that could do it. Absolutely.
They're starting to spread outward, and so, it's like you don't look for a while, and then suddenly there they are. So I've been using a mix of orange oil and BioWash, spraying around the plants to try to keep them from spreading out. But the ones that are really established, I've cut some of them and pulled them out, but is it a better idea to just sacrifice those plants and get rid of the mother load of the mealybugs, or is my spraying going to take them out?
Well, mealybugs are an interesting pest. They're very closely kin to aphids. Basically, that's what they are, and they have a protective coating on them. That's one of the first insects we saw great luck with using the what we call the mound drench. Basically Garrett juice with orange oil added to it at about 2 ounces per gallon. It'll kill the mealybugs. The orange oil could be used by itself, too, but you might get a little bit of burn if you don't buffer it with either compost tea or the whole Garrett juice. But I would kill them. And I would drench the Garrett juice in that soil using the orange oil and BioWash to repel them from spreading out. That's fine, but they probably won't spread out to the plants that aren't in stress anyway.
Yeah, but, there are just a few that straggled out. So because I pulled up a bunch of branches that had fruit on them already. The cherry tomatoes, I've got a gazillion of them in the freezer, but, I hate to toss tomatoes when they're out there, but
well, it's good that you're still here.
They get pretty bad in the middle. These are last spring's plants, and I just kept them going over the summer, hoping that I get a fall crop.
Yeah, that's usually the smaller tomatoes are better at that. Bringing them through that 105 degree weather is good. I have a couple of plants that even survived that and the hail that are doing fairly well. So, but if you need to kill.
I managed that last year. I got a good crop in the fall.
Well, good. Well, if you do need to kill mealybugs, though, that mound drench mixture does work very well.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Maggie. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Temple, Texas, and talk to Wayne. Hey, Wayne.
How are you doing this morning?
Very well. What's up with you?
I finally found, through an independent nurseman, some peach trees that I wanted.
All right.
And I have a hole that I had a young man do, 2 foot deep, about 3.5 foot and around. And I'm going to pick up the trees next Friday in, the case containers. Do I need to soak that in Garrett juice and Thrive and all that stuff before I plant it?
Are you picking up container-grown trees, or are they bare-rooted, or what's the condition of them?
They are container-grown trees.
Okay. Why did you dig the hole before you even had the plants on the site?
Because I had a young man that wanted some money to
Okay. Well, the reason I brought that up is that 2 feet is probably deeper than the height of the ball, which means you've dug the hole too deeply. And
well, I really did that on purpose. I was going to put some lava sand and dry molasses, you know, fill in the dirt and then put some on top and have it sort of a loose where the tree roots, you know, could go ahead and spread out.
Well, you don't want to do that, Wayne. You don't want to ever put the improvements, especially organic materials, down in the bottom of the hole because there won't be enough oxygen below about 10 inches for them to decay aerobically, and they'll go anaerobic, and that'll create problems for your roots. So, the only thing you want in the bottom of the hole is the native soil. So when you get the plants to the site, you need to measure the height of the root ball, scrape all the excess soil and mulch off the top of the root ball. They'll probably be too deep in the containers. Get down to the true flare, in other words, and then measure from the flare down to the bottom of the container. And you want to fill that hole back in with native soil until it gets up to the point where when you set that plant in there, the crown of it is peaking above the ground grade just a little bit. You follow me?
Yes, sir.
You want them good and high. You want to put that native soil back in the bottom, and this is one case where I would tamp the soil so that when you plant, there's not going to be settling after you've planted the tree.
Okay.
And then you'll be fine. Backfill even the rest of the way with the native soil, and then the improved stuff, compost, rock materials, sugar, in other words, bed preparation material, would just go right on the surface. You can drench the whole affair with Garrett juice. You can soak the roots in water with a little Garrett juice mixed in the water. But don't put your dry materials, improvement materials, down in the bottom of the hole.
Okay. All right. Well, I have a bunch of earthworms in the yard anyhow, so take over.
You got good soil to start with, so you'll be fine. Just do it the easy way, and your little peach trees will do fine.
Well, I put cornmeal on the surface of it, you know, to feed the earthworms.
That's fine.
And so, well, I thank you for all of that, and I enjoy your show, and I'm glad I called you.
Thank you, Wayne. Call us again.
Goodbye.
Let's go to Hillsboro and see what's up with Charles.
Hello.
Hi, Charles.
Hey. Hey, I've got a section of pasture that's mostly Johnson grass and weeds, and it's kind of high, and I notice there's a lot of grasshoppers in it. Is it better to go ahead and cut that, or will it cause grasshoppers to get up around the house? You know what I'm saying?
Well, you're going to want – what do you do with that property? Do you have any animals on it or anything?
No, not right now.
It's just kind of fallow right now?
Mm-hmm.
The best thing to – you can mow all that down. It's probably going to move the grasshoppers. I don't think it will necessarily, you know, move them to you. They're going to just disperse and go a lot of places. I've been curious to see how many grasshoppers are still around at this time of the year. I've seen them on golf courses and in landscape situations where it's kind of unusual. You could go ahead and do that. In your situation, you want to mow it at some point in time, either now, or you can leave the grass tall and mow it down kind of late winter, early spring, so that you make way for the new growth to come on there.
Wow.
I don't think it's going to be any big deal about the grasshoppers one way or the other in your situation.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if the taller grass kind of kept the grasshoppers in one spot and, you know, kept them from coming around the place.
No, I don't think so. They're out there, but they're waning at this point anyway, so it's not going to be a real big issue. Leave it there, mow it down late winter might be your best way to go.
What about in springtime? Is it the same scenario? Would it make any difference one way or the other?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Mow it, plan on mowing it late winter or early spring.
Right.
That'd probably be the time to do it. And if you want to protect any of your plants, whether it's grasses or your landscape plants, if they do move over to your other stuff, you can spray with the kale and clay product called Surround, and that'll run them off. They'll go somewhere else. It works very, very well.
All right. Well,
okay.
I appreciate it.
Appreciate the call.
Thanks.
And the number to be with me is 866-444-3478. I've got one other interesting thing going on in Howard's garden, in my garden, and that is that the ginkgo is setting its fruit early this year. There's fruit and mess all over the ground right now, and usually that doesn't happen until in the winter time. It is a female. It was planted as a male. Those of you who have tried to plant non-fruiting ginkgos may have experienced the same thing. They appear to be able to change sex. You know, it's one of the oldest trees on Earth, and it may have that ability. It's what it appears, because mine was, you know, planted, came from a nursery, landscape contractor planted it as a male, but it's not. Howard Garrett, 866-444-3478. I'll be back right after this.
Mosquitoes carrying West Nile virus have struck with a vengeance. Protect your family, pets, and livestock with safe, natural, and easy-to-use mosquito dunks and mosquito bits from Summit. Summit mosquito dunks and mosquito bits kill mosquitoes before they're old enough to bite, and they're safe and effective to use in ponds, bird baths, rain gutters, animal watering troughs, and in any standing water. Mosquito dunks and mosquito bits are available at garden centers everywhere. Visit SummitResponsibleSolutions.com for more information.
Keeping our bones strong and healthy becomes more of a challenge as we age, especially for women. This is Dr. Natalie Engelbart, scientific advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Research has proven that adding a probiotic supplement to your diet will fortify and strengthen bones, making them less likely to break. A clinical study done exclusively on Dr. O'Hara's probiotics found that women and men who took Dr. O'Hara's probiotics for at least 8 weeks had significantly increased bone density. The calcium we consume through milk and supplements is not always absorbed or used to build bone. In fact, without a healthy probiotic population in the gut, calcium can pass right through undigested. The nice thing about probiotics is that they are part of the original plan. They are supposed to be in the intestinal tract. As a doctor, I worry about depending on drugs that harden bone by slowing the normal remodeling process. But I can't think of a good reason not to have better digestion at any age.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on the effectiveness of natural organic approaches in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC wants to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us to enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center can use your support. Your contribution is tax deductible. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the bottom of the homepage to find out more about TORC and how you can help. Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
There's a small dog food company up near the Red River in Munster, Texas, and it's the one I recommend you try for your dogs. My dogs eat only Munster natural dog food. I'm sure that doesn't surprise you. Main thing to them is the taste, but Judy and I notice how it makes them look and feel. Other major points are the absence of toxic preservatives and the presence of the highest quality ingredients around, including prebiotics and L-carnitine. Also, some very unusual ingredients that I've been recommending for a long time. Some of the Munster dog foods contain no soy, wheat, or corn. Some of the formulas are the original ones, but all Munster natural foods are made with grains from local farmers, and the bags are made right here in the United States, not in China. Everything about Munster Natural is quality and results in healthy dogs and cats. If your pet food store doesn't stock Munster Natural, ask them to contact Munster Milling through their website at munstermilling.com and make your dogs and cats happier and healthier.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: Vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth, vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth, animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth, animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth, children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth, children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Okay, Howard, back with you. I was just reading more of the articles in this paper from Oregon, and this is a story about what I've suggested to you. The government backs Monsanto, says that the federal government is sided with Monsanto in the biotech company's legal dispute with a farmer over patented soybeans. The government was asked by the U.S. Supreme Court to weigh in on the case, in which Monsanto accuses Indiana farmer Vernon Bowman of patent infringement. The nation's largest court is considering whether to review a previous ruling in which Monsanto prevailed against the farmer. And the story is, this farmer bought soybeans from as a commodity from somebody selling generic soybeans, and he planted, well, it had the gene from Monsanto's Roundup Ready technology in these beans that he bought from somebody else, thinking that they were not, Roundup Ready soybeans. Somehow or another, Monsanto goes around and tests and finds that out, sued. He won $84,000 judgment in this case. And he didn't even want them. So that's the kind of thing that's going on out there, and it's getting worse all the time because they've just lost control of this genetic modification. It's escaping. It has escaped, and it's in crops that were not supposed to have the gene. Larry is next up. Tyler, Texas. Hey, Larry.
How you doing, Howard?
Doing well.
So I've got, I think, a problem with armadillos. They're tearing up my backyard. They're tearing up my plot and everything else. Is there anything I can do to get rid of these guys?
Yeah, I'm not hearing you real well. Are you on a speakerphone, Larry?
Yeah, I'm on the road.
Okay, that's probably best. Armadillos can be gotten rid of for sure one way and maybe with another way. The maybe way is something that we've had good reports about, and that is put out hot pepper. Red pepper like you would get in bulk from an Asian market or something like that that's used on cooking pizzas and things like that. Putting it in the area real heavily where they have dug up the night before, they'll usually kind of come back to pretty much the same place. And if they get a big snout full of something hot, a lot of times it'll run them off. Traps will work too, but it's a little bit of trouble to set them up, and then what do you do with the armadillo once you've trapped it? Judy and I trapped 11 one year in our backyard, for example. We relocated them all, but that's not really recommended by the animal people. The thing that I would recommend the highest, Larry, is a new product that we kind of helped push out on the market about a year ago, and it's from the people that make deer scram and mole scram, the repellents, and they have an armadillo scram now, and it works. It is really, really effective.
So where can I get that, Howard?
Well, if it's not in your local feed stores or garden centers or farm stores, you can tell them that they can buy it wholesale if they want it through the Natural Organic Warehouse. And in the meantime, you can buy it yourself from naturalorganicwarehouse.com if the stores don't have it in stock.
Awesome.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate the call.
Great.
Thank you very much. Let's go, and I got an open line now at 866-444-3478. Here's Larry in Balch Springs. Hey, Larry.
Hello.
What's up? Larry, you there?
Guess we got a bad connection. I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now, Larry?
I got you now.
Okay. What's up?
I just planted a fall garden, first time I ever tried it.
Okay.
Everything came up except carrots and lettuce. They didn't make it. But anyway, while I was looking there, I noticed a bunch of little plants in about a 12-inch square area. Just a bunch of little plants coming up, and I said, "Did I inadvertently spill some seeds or something?" I got to look at, and it turned out it's tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting on up 6-8 inches tall now, and I'm trying to transplant them out. And I just wonder what my chances of getting tomatoes before the first frost.
Probably slim and none, Larry. We're pretty late in the season for them to be that small.
Yeah.
You could carry them over in a greenhouse situation and have some big plants to set out next year. That's a possibility. But on the other hand, as you've seen, they're so easy to grow from seed, you may not want to mess with that. But I don't think you have quite enough time left for them.
Yeah.
Leave them there. You never know. We may have the super mild fall and winter, and you could luck out. But back to your other point that you made on the carrots and lettuce, it was too early to plant them, so try another round of those. You're just getting
I'll try that.
Yeah, you're just getting into the time to do that, and it might still be a little early for the spinach. A lot of the greens and a lot of the cool season things can be planted, but spinach and lettuce sometimes a little bit persnickety.
Yeah.
Carrots should be really easy for you to get going right now, though.
Well, good. When I transplanted those little tomatoes, you know, they kind of laid over limp, but then I watered them good, and next day they were up going. But I'm going to try it again. I ran out of Garrett juice, so I'm making a new batch. So I'm going to squirt the root system of those little tomatoes and see if it helps.
Oh, it will. It's just a matter of time about whether you're going to end up with any fruit or not. Give it a try. It'll be fun to play with it and see. And then if it doesn't work out, you can just get ready for next season and get things planted at the right time.
Well, thank you, Doctor.
Appreciate the call. Okay, and we got an open line. Jump on here at 866-444-3478. What's left of my vegetable garden after the hail and everything's kind of interesting. I've got some little stubby okra that are trying to come up. The asparagus is trying to take over an area. My red lima beans that a lot of you also have got beat down but are coming back pretty well. And I'll tell you more about it when I come back. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Don't go away.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. The presidential candidates taking a rest from campaigning this morning. Mitt Romney hasn't been making any public appearances this weekend, but he is scheduled to attend fundraisers in California tonight. Going back to the public schedule, a speech in Denver, and tomorrow a three-day bus tour in Ohio. Libya's president has ordered the disbandment of what he calls illegitimate militias. The assertion of authority comes amid a burst of violence by armed groups, including the assault on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, and the killing of the U.S. ambassador. Schools and businesses closed, transportation disrupted across Bangladesh as hardline Islamic groups enforce a general strike. They're protesting the video produced in the U.S. that denigrates Muhammad. And there's been another attack on a church in northern Nigeria. Police say a suicide car bomber pulled up to the church's gates during worship service and detonated his explosives. 2 dead, 46 hurt. This is SRN News.
didn't realize menopause could make me gain so much weight. I just didn't get it.
Hormonal changes during menopause can make you gain weight easier than ever. But now there's relief with Estronol, an all-natural supplement with an ingredient that can help prevent weight gain during menopause. Estronol also helps relieve hot flashes, and it can help you sleep better during hormonal changes.
After taking Estronol, I was finally able to say no to menopausal weight gain, and I can fit into my favorite jeans.
If you want to help prevent menopausal weight gain, even that stubborn weight around your waistline, call for a risk-free 30-day trial of Estronol. Call today and you'll also get a free weight management formula to help reduce body fat and decrease your appetite. It's yours free if you call now. Just call 1-800-839-7230. That's 1-800-839-7230. Help prevent weight gain and reduce body fat with Estronol. Just call 1-800-839-7230. That's 1-800-839-7230.
With Esperance Sports, I'm Patrick Foss. Brad Snedeker had one of his best rounds of the year, a 664 on Saturday that gave him a share of the lead at the Tour Championship. It could turn out to be a round worth $10 million. Snedeker is tied atop the leaderboard with Justin Rose, who also played bogey-free for a 68. Tiger Woods, four shots off the pace at 4-under, was asked if he has a chance to win.
I've done it before. Been out here a long time and just claw your way back into it. And it was just going to take a round in the 60s, and I figured the guys aren't going to go out and run off and hide, not on this golf course. It's just playing too difficult.
The upset of the night in college football occurred in Norman, where 15th-ranked Kansas State down to 6th-ranked Oklahoma 24-19. Elsewhere, top-ranked Alabama had no trouble with Florida Atlantic 40-7. 2nd-ranked LSU did have trouble, barely beating Auburn 12-10. It was 3rd-ranked Oregon 49, number 22 Arizona nothing, 4th-ranked Florida State 49, 10th-ranked Clemson 37. This is Esser in Sports. Two of the Major League Division titles were secured Saturday as Cincinnati beat Los Angeles 6-0 and San Francisco down to San Diego 8-4. The Reds capture the Central and the Giants the West. Other National League finals, St. Louis 5-4 over Chicago in 10 innings, New York 4, Miami 3, Atlanta 8, Philadelphia 2, Houston 4-1 over Pittsburgh, Arizona 8, Colorado 7, Washington 10, Milwaukee 4. The Brewers dropped 2.5 games behind St. Louis for the second NL wild card. Milwaukee left fielder Ryan Braun says if they hadn't goofed around most of the year, they would be in a better position.
Whatever our winning percentage is over the last 30 games, if we'd done that all year, we'd be in a much better position. So we put ourselves in this position.
Milwaukee's won 23 of 30. In the American League, it was New York 10-9 over Oakland in 14 innings. Baltimore beat Boston 9-6-12. The Orioles manned a game behind East leader New York. Detroit down to Minnesota 8-0, while Chicago was losing to Los Angeles 4-2. The Tigers now within just a half game of the Central leading White Sox. Seattle beat Texas 1-0. The Rangers' West lead still 4 over Oakland. With Esser in Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
All righty, Howard, back with you. 866-444-3478. I was talking briefly about the lima beans. Lima beans got beat down to the ground. I thought it had completely killed them. They're the ones that we've been saving the seed now for some time. Mature in the fall, so they started regrowing. They got pretty good size and everything, and it's going to be interesting to see if they have much production this year. Those of you that planted them at the proper time early in the season probably have some huge vines and a whole lot of production that's already started. The way I harvested mine the last few years is I wait until the pod's completely dry on the vine, and then pick them at that point. And soaking the beans overnight in some salt before cooking, you won't have any beans that taste any better than these. They are really, really good. My wife doesn't even like lima beans, and she loves these, but I really do. Let me catch up here a little bit. JD in Lake Whitney, or at Lake Whitney, I guess. What's up?
Howard? I wanted to see if you'd explain the GMO just a little bit better. I don't think that the people out there really knows what is going on.
Well, that's a good point. What they do, JD, is they splice a gene from something that's not related at all into a plant. This genetic modification sometimes takes an animal gene and puts it into a plant or vice versa, and does all kinds of strange things. The most, the first one that was done, I guess, was that they put the BT, which is a bacteria gene, into the plant. I think they put it into soybeans first. And so they grew these soybeans, and inside that soybean now is the gene of the BT, which is Bacillus thuringiensis. And they did that so that that plant, when it's growing, here comes a butterfly or a moth and lands on it and eats lays eggs, and the caterpillar is born and starts to eat the plant. Well, the BT gene is already in the plant, and so it kills the caterpillar. Well, that seemed to be, you know, a great idea of pest control, you know, whoever came up with the plan. But the problem is that gene in there creates things they didn't realize it would do. The new technology, you know, they didn't know what the end ramifications were. The other thing that's been used the most is putting a gene into a plant so that it makes it. And I don't know what gene they used to do this, but they put a gene into a plant so that as it grows, it becomes immune to the herbicide called glyphosate, which is what's in Roundup. And what that allows them to do is to spray the entire field, and the Roundup kills the weeds or the other plants that are in the crop. But it won't kill the plants that have had this gene spliced in that gives it the resistance to the herbicide. You see what I mean?
Okay.
The problem is they just haven't been able to control that gene escaping and getting into other plants, for one thing. The other thing is that it has created, I was reading an article about it in the same paper that I've mentioned a few times this morning. It has, in some cases, created weeds that are classified now as super weeds that the Roundup won't even kill. And what they've started to do as a result is that they're bringing in other herbicides now that are, in some cases, even more dangerous than the Roundup to kill the weeds, because the Roundup won't kill them anymore. And they're using things like 2,4-D, which was one of the ingredients in Agent Orange, and, you know, something that shouldn't even be on the market, unfortunately, but still is, and other herbicides as well. So we're splicing something into a plant that would not naturally occur. There's natural cross-pollination, and I think this is what confuses people a little bit. We can cross one plant that's similar to another plant and come up with some good results in a lot of cases, a certain color of a flower that we want, or a certain size of a flower, or more resistance to a disease. You know, tomatoes are crossbred and new varieties are created that give more resistance to fusarium wilt and things like that. But that's crossing things that are closely kin. This genetic modification is crossing things that would never be able to be crossed in nature. Oh. And that's what's creating all of this really bad peripheral stuff. And the worst thing that has been created out of it so far, and it's one of the few reasons that it's not even more widely used than it is, in agriculture, when genetic modification is used, especially this Roundup Ready stuff, it changes the way the microbes in the soil are. They're not in a healthy, balanced way in the soil anymore, and as a result, the organic matter in the soil won't decay. It just sits there and doesn't decay, and finally volatilizes, you know, it oxidizes and goes away, and it doesn't build a soil. So the soil is getting weaker and weaker and weaker, and the biology in the soil is getting more and more upset and unbalanced. And what that is doing is giving the farmers less and less return on their money, less and less production. So that's one of the good things that's happened, because it's made the farmers look at it and scratch their head and say, well, you know, do I really want to be doing this or not?
Well, yeah, but I kind of understand that part of it. But what part that I'm having trouble understanding is that our federal government has given these people the license to do this. And if I'm growing soybeans on a large scale, and I don't want to grow the genetic modified soybeans.
Mm-hmm.
And I buy soybeans. They can come in next door to me and plant the GMO soybeans and cross mine up, and I've got to turn around and pay these people that has done this to, because my soybeans got crossed up.
Well, that's right. That's exactly the case that's going to the Supreme Court, or has gone to the Supreme Court, I was telling you about.
That's what I don't think that the people understands, is that we have sat back and let our government do this. Let these big rich people get richer, and the poor people that's out here just trying to make a living, we've got to pay these people because they have crossed up our stuff that we didn't want crossed up.
You're right. You're exactly right.
I heard you a while ago, and I thought, well, you know, I've got just a little bit of knowledge about it, but not just a whole lot. But I think that the people is not aware of exactly what is going on there. They're going to do that on the alfalfa, the corn, and the soybeans all. And
now they're talking about beets now too, and they'll try to do it on crops across.
Well, they've kind of got it on Bermuda grass and
Bermuda grass. They've got it. They've got it in rice already too. And the deal with rice was they sold the idea that they're creating this golden rice. You've probably heard the term, that has higher levels of nutrients in them. In the rice as a result of the genetic modification, so they were going to feed the children of the world that are starving better. That was the selling point of the thing. They've totally ignored all of the negative ramifications of all this stuff, and the government and, you know, big business both. And again, like I said earlier on, it's not just one political party, it's both of them that are totally on board with all this.
Well, we need to get something modified that got the GMO on it to put some smarts in food.
Well, putting some smarts in the politician is the first step, and that's pretty tough to do, JD. If you figure that out, let me know.
Well, plant them.
Okay, that's a good idea. Thank you, JD.
Thank you.
See you, man. All right, it's not a simple deal, even if you get people to agree with us. Joanne in Dallas next up.
How are you this morning?
Doing well, thank you.
I'm calling from Dallas, Texas. I'd like to ask you about spider plants.
Okay.
Now, I had been giving them like chemically treated water, and a friend of mine told me they don't like chemically treated water. They like distilled water. And I wanted to ask you about Robusta, because during the wintertime, you know, I try to bring the spider plants and Robusta inside, and when I do that, they just dry up. When I put them back outside, it seems like they love the cold weather. And if it's true, you can you give us spider plant milk, and I'll be quiet and let you.
Okay, well, on the water issue, Joanne, it's you're right. If we use city water, which most everybody listening does from time to time, I do myself, because that's the water that we have available to us the most. But when you have water that's full of chlorine and fluoride and all kinds of things like that, the plants don't like it much more than we do. So it would be ideal not to use distilled water, as you suggested, but water that's filtered through a carbon filter or something like that. We do have a whole house carbon filter at our house. And we use that water for some of the irrigation. We use it for bathing and showering and drinking in the house. But some of it actually goes into the hose bibs and is used around our plants. And yeah, you're right. The plants like clean water better than contaminated water. What we recommend for everybody, and what I'd recommend for you, is when you are having to use city water for your spider plant or ferns or whatever you're growing, just add a little apple cider vinegar to the water. In a gallon of water, put about a tablespoon or up to, you can go to 2 or 3 tablespoons. You can put an ounce per gallon of water of apple cider vinegar. And that by itself changes the chemistry and buffers the water and adds trace minerals. It functions as a mild organic fertilizer. And you'll see your plants really perk up a lot just by doing that.
What about magnesium?
Well, magnesium is deficient in most of the soils in the country. That's an interesting question. And one of the tools that, not all of them, but a very high percentage, one of the tools that we use for that is Epsom salts, because that's magnesium sulfate. So you can put a little pinch of Epsom salts in your water, and in most cases, that would be beneficial also to your plant growth.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Have a wonderful Sunday.
I appreciate the call. Thank you, Joanne. It's David's turn in Paris, I assume Texas.
Yes.
What's it going on? Tell you what, here comes the birds. David, can you hang on so we won't be rushed?
You bet.
I'll come back to you in just a little bit. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, the telephone number to be on the show with us, talking about all kinds of subjects, as you might guess, is 866-444-3478. Our website is dirtdoctor.com. And we'll talk more right after this, so don't go away. One of the places you can go to buy Crazy Water is at the Crazy Water store in Mineral Wells. This is where the Crazy Well is and where you can purchase Crazy Water and many related products. Crazy Water is what I drink, and there are several reasons why you should too. Other waters can't add naturally occurring minerals to their water, only synthetic ones. Crazy Water's high level of natural minerals are more readily absorbed by your body than synthetic minerals. Crazy Water is also a natural sports drink without all the artificial flavors and sugars. Crazy Water drinkers love it because it's real and it's an easy means of hydration and electrolyte replenishment. Crazy Water's been making people feel good since 1881. Go to drinkcrazywater.com and click on Find Us to locate a store in your area. If your favorite store is not carrying Crazy Water, click on the red Get Crazy banner ad on the top of the store location page to print a page that you can give to your store so they can get Crazy Water for you. That's drinkcrazywater.com.
The Natural Organic Warehouse provides state-of-the-art natural organic products and programs that produce great results and will save you money. This week's featured product is Avenger Weed Killer. It's a fast-acting, non-selective, natural control for most weeds, including grasses and broadleaves. Visit naturalorganicwarehouse.com. That's naturalorganicwarehouse.com. Natural Organic Warehouse. Organic programs and products that work.
They say that their service is the most comprehensive plant analysis program available. And you know, I agree with them. Who am I talking about? Well, it's Texas Plant and Soil Lab. They have a brand new website. It's called asktheplant.com. Their telephone number is 956-383-0739. This is the company that does soil testing, water testing, petiole testing, the stem testing, in other words, and anything related to toxic materials. See the new website. It's asktheplant.com.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
The Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas has been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building amendments longer than anyone in the organic business. All Medina products work by stimulating soil biology and to help plants indirectly. Whether you're growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, you can feel comfortable knowing that you're spending dollars wisely, as well as treating your soil, plants, and the environment right. All of Medina's products feed the soil. Some feed the plants directly, but all of them feed the plants indirectly, and some of the Medina products are totally organic. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is made by Medina and available in sizes from quarts to large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website is medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina labels at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products. The Medina products are always available from naturalorganicwarehouse.com.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. 866-444-3478. David is waiting to chat about something in Paris, Texas. Hey, David.
Thanks, Howard. God bless you for the work you do.
Well, thank you, sir.
And one of the things that distinguishes your show is your audience, present caller excluded, perhaps.
The people
that call you have the serious questions, and they are enlightened people. And you have the most enlightened answers for them and the most natural answers.
Well, it's all very kind. I appreciate you calling us.
All right. Now, give your phone number more than one time. And give it twice, because old folks like myself sometimes have to reach for a pencil, and we can't remember what you just said. I don't think you give your phone number enough. Let me continue.
All right.
You had a caller, two callers ago, that brought up the GMO question.
Mm-hmm.
He is an example of your audience. That man should run for agriculture commissioner.
Yeah, he might make a good one.
Or perhaps he should run for senator. Because he's an enlightened man, he's an enlightened agricultural, he's a farmer, he's one of these people that's waking up to what's going on. And I'm delighted to hear people like that on your show. Second comment, or third, soon to be in a Walmart grocery store in your town will be purple strawberries that are genetically modified. They will contain the gene of an Arctic fish. A purple Arctic fish, the gene that they've identified in that fish's genome prevents him from freezing to death in the Arctic. And that will be spliced into the genome of a strawberry to guard against frost and freeze.
You're right.
Now,
and
we're having a plant and an animal combined.
Mm-hmm.
That is the bottom line of it. This is a new life form, and there is no history on what this is going to do to us and to our environment. It seems to be Katie bar the door.
That's right, and the biggest thing that's just bizarre about this whole story, David, is that the government and the manufacturers are fighting just the basic idea of putting this information on the label. You know, they don't want it on the label because they know if the public knows that the product is genetically modified, they're not going to buy it.
Well, that would short-circuit the money path.
Yeah, and it in other countries, they are doing that, but here, yeah. Everybody is continuing to fight it, and we're the losers in the process.
There are countries in this world, Howard, that will not even buy our meat because they have been fed genetically modified food.
No, that's right. Anyway, yeah. We'll keep up the fight.
All right. Well, I had a question about fire ants.
Okay.
I'm about to put my broccoli and my red cabbage starts that I've got in little paper cups. They need to go out tonight.
Yeah.
But I looked out there in my raised bed where I'm going to put them, and there's a fire ant nest. I can deal with that, and I have, using your advice. But I need to get those plants out there tonight as we're getting some cooler weather and the soil is just ready.
Yeah,
and they need to come out of those cups. Will the fire ants attack those?
Fire ants will eat certain plants, David. They'll eat the plants I've seen them eat the most are eggplant, which is interesting, and also okra. And it's little small transplants. I rarely see them be a problem. Do you have any natural diatomaceous earth?
No.
You might go down to the feed.
Not presently. I will pour some molasses on them.
Well, the whole Garrett juice mix would be better. If you put the molasses too heavy, they might even encourage them there. If you do the whole mixture, I think that would be good. Go to the feed stores there locally, and surely somebody still in Paris has some natural diatomaceous earth, and just dust it around. You could also use flour from the kitchen, and it would do about the same thing.
I need to do something tonight to at least set them back. Because I've nurtured these plants, and there's not a mound of fire ants going to get them down.
Okay. Well, try to get some natural diatomaceous earth. That'd be the best thing that you could use. And I think you'll be fine. If you mix 2 ounces of orange oil in with a Garrett juice mixture or compost tea, you can drench and kill those ants. It kills them when it hits them. It doesn't, you know, repel them.
Right.
And that's another way to go.
Right. The orange oil is great stuff. Thank you, Howard.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate the call.
All right.
It's another David, and by the way, that number, and he had a good point. I need to be more careful about the phone number. It's 866-444-3478. 866-444-3478. David in, is it Richardson, David?
Richardson, yes,
yeah.
Sir. Yes, I had a question about biochar.
Okay.
The charcoal.
Uh-huh.
You cook the wood, get the black charcoal.
Right.
And then you put it in compost tea, charge it up, and it becomes a warehouse for all your macros and whatever. You know, charcoal sucks stuff up real good. So
The civilizations have been using biochar in their bed preparation and growing crops for eons. It's been around a long time, and it's just another way of putting carbon in the soil that's going to help with the, you know, the health of the biological activity in the soil. That's right.
Yeah, it works real good because on my okra crop this year, I got about 400 okra pods off of just a little old bitty spot, and I never have been able to.
Did you make your own? Did you make your own biochar? Did you buy a commercial product?
Well, I did both.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. I'm going to have to run for a minute here, and then we'll be back for the third hour. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. The website's dirtdoctor.com, and we'll be back for more of your questions right after this.